W1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. The Biden administration suing the Texas governor over his Rio Grande buoy and barbed wire barrier that was meant to stop migrants. See you in court, says Governor Abbott. White House Press Secretary Corinne Jean-Pierre.
Let the Department of Justice speak to this. They've been very clear last week that they are that they also will see Governor Abbott in court for his unlawful actions. We've been very clear about that.
A Phoenix burn unit seeing many more patients due to the extremely hot weather. One unit saying it's constantly packed. About a third of the patients receiving contact burns after falling on the hot pavement. Prayers sought by Florida officials from Miami-Dade Police Director Freddie Ramirez, who they say got out of a car and shot himself in the head. He is expected to survive. Florida Police Official Mark Glass.
Today is a tragic day in Florida, and the law enforcement community stands with Director Ramirez and his family during this difficult time as we pray for his full recovery.
This is ABC News. Mass evacuations continue in Greece.
On the island of Rhodes, vacationers fleeing fires on tour buses as helicopters try to douse the flames nearby.
It's very, very bad, the situation. We need help. Send us help from everywhere.
Coast Guard vessels ferrying tourists and residents to shelters in safer parts of the island.
ABC's Marcus Moore in Greece. The search for more evidence and possibly more murder victims intensifying on the Long Island, New York property of suspected serial killer Rex Huerman. ABC's Aaron Katursky in New York.
An excavator digging through his backyard, forensic technicians in white suits sifting through dirt, taking pictures, carting away evidence. Authorities also deploying ground-penetrating radar that can detect anomalies underground to determine where they should dig. Inside the home Huerman shared with his wife and children, police discovered what they described as a walk-in vault with a big iron door where Huerman stored more than 200 guns.
Andy Field, ABC News.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Starting at 6 a.m., The Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
It's so hot. Wait. Now it's going to rain? It is summer in Wisconsin.
As much as we love it, we love to hate it too. Find a forecast you can count on along with the in-depth details you need, only from the Civic Media Weather Team.
These extended conditions have led us into a flash drought. Sitting in these above average temperatures with minimal rain has swiftly altered the local climate.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. This time of year, the world's busiest airport is Oshkosh. During the Experimental Aircraft Association, EAA Air Venture. 10,000 airplanes fly in, typically 600,000 people visit, spending $170 million. Big numbers worth celebrating considering EAA started in a Milwaukee basement with a little more than 100 people 70 years ago. EAA runs through July 30th. Keep an eye to the sky if you're in the Oshkosh area. Daily air shows start at 2:30. I'm Terry Barr.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Or CafeLatte.com.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cuff, Henry Carter gave me.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Karagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot, and we discuss local and national Native news and events. As you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
You're absolutely right, Dega, and this portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Yes, it does, and yes, it does. So today we have Dr. Stately calling in. He's in Wisconsin with his sons playing hockey, and I can't imagine playing hockey when it's 100 degrees outside, but that's just me. The old days, I think the ice got warm, and we'll have to ask him about that. And then later on, we're going to check in with former state rep Ruth Buffalo of North Dakota and what she's doing. She's still a doer, and she's still doing things for her people all across Turtle Island. So it's exciting. Hey, Haley, I know you're a big sports fan, working with the Gophers when you were in school and doing those things.
Yeah,
the Twins tomorrow. We'll be having the Minnesota Twins baseball team will be having Native American Heritage Day, and they have a giveaway of for the first 5,000 people baseball caps, and I haven't seen them, but I can't wait to see them. And we're going to be out there broadcasting, I do believe, tomorrow before the Twins game, and then we're going to be there at the Twins, so it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, so the Twins take on the Seattle Mariners is who they're playing tomorrow, Tuesday the 25th, and that game starts at 6:40. That's when they throw the first pitch, and that's tomorrow night at Target Field here in Minneapolis. And that's presented. So Native American Heritage Night is presented by Prairie Island Indian Community and Treasure Island Resort and Casino. And yes, as you said, Dega, the first 5,000 fans through the gates will receive a free Native American Heritage Night hat or T-shirt. I saw somewhere, too.
Oh, geez. Yeah. Oh, we're going to have to, you know how I am with T-shirts. So
I have not seen the design yet, but I'm sure they'll be great and beautiful.
And I'm sure it's through some artists from Prairie Island, Lakota Dakota Design, which I've seen over the years is awesome, and had, you know, good ones for the Twins there to be doing that. And also, as you know, Haley, I was at the last couple Twins games victories in the last few innings, and one went to 12 innings, and I love baseball. But we also have the creative corner out there. The Native Roots Arts Trading Post is out there, too. And stop in and check out some earrings from Joseph Ryder, some art from Heck. We have wild rice out there. Stop in and support our Native artists and communities, too. So that'll be a good day to do that.
Yeah, all around a big Native American night out at Target Field.
Yeah, so have you been to a baseball game yet this year?
I haven't this year. I did go. I got out to one. I think it was last season, but only one.
Well, they're pitching really well, and the game's different now, too, Haley, because they have a, I want to say a shot clock. They have a pitch clock, and it's you have to throw the pitch within a certain time, which, or be in the batter's box with a certain amount of time, and the games have now averaged roughly 2 hours and 39 minutes, which I can deal with. Those four-hour games that they've been doing in the past were really getting into my bedtime and sleeping time with those night games.
Yeah, the extra innings can get very long.
Yeah, or just the regular innings when they take their time and adjust their little batting gloves. And, you know, I hate to always bring this up, but when I was playing, we didn't use no stinking batting gloves. We just got blisters in our hands and then kept on swinging. But it's changed the game a little bit. I don't know if you know about this. They can't do the big switch anymore in the infield and the outfield. And that seems
I didn't know any of that.
Yeah, that seems to be helping out the Twins hitters as much help as they need. It's funny, three, four years ago, they were the Bomba Squad and hitting record home runs, and now they can't hit, and now they have one of the best pitching staffs in the majors. Yeah. So that's
what's their record? Their record now, or this season so far, is 53-48, right?
Yeah, and they're in first place in their division, which obviously is a weaker division in the majors. And but they're in first place by three games. And since the All-Star game break, I think they're 8-2, which is a nice little run if they could keep up that winning percentage the rest of the year. And supposedly they have a easier schedule the rest of the year. So we'll see what happens with the Twins. I love to go out there. It's a beautiful stadium. And I can't believe, Haley, you might be a little too young for this, but I can't believe they put that beautiful stadium in this such a small footprint. It was in a parking lot. And yeah. It was like, how are they going to fit a stadium in this little area? And they did. They really did. And it's a beautiful stadium.
Well, that they were building that, I believe, when I was still in elementary school, because I remember sixth grade. My sixth grade was still part of the elementary school at the time. But we did a field trip for the first season that the Twins played at the Target Field. And yeah, I remember it was so cool to have an outdoor stadium and not be in the Metrodome anymore.
Right. 2000, does it make sense? It was 2010 when the first season of 13 years ago. Does that make sense to your math of what age you are?
2010. Well, okay. I believe it was a little earlier than that.
2010 was the first, I believe, the first year of it. And we had season tickets. I hated the Metrodome. I was brought up at the old Met. Which was outdoor stadium where the Mall of America is right now. And you can see there's a chair up in home plate in the Mall of America in the where they have the rides. And they have a chair up there because Harmon Killebrew hit a 500-plus foot home run that's still there in the home plate and the chair, which represented where he hit it, which if you look at it, 500 feet is a long way.
Yeah, I'll have to keep my eye out for that next time I'm out at MOA. I don't think I've ever seen that out there.
Yeah, it's kind of hidden, so you kind of do have to look for it for sure. It's on the wall, and you have to look up there and then find home plate, which is on the ground kind of, 500 feet away.
Right. Well, I got a friend who I think he just got his Twins debut Shout out to my friend Matt Wallner from Forest Lake High School. Congratulations on your first game with the Twins this weekend.
Wow.
Excited to see you playing out there.
He's been up for a little while.
Has he? Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I just saw him on TV playing the first game that I saw him playing. But yeah, that was very cool.
Well, he had a great game yesterday, and he's been doing very well. He played left field for the first time a couple games ago, and he's an outfielder. And I didn't know Forest Lake had any baseball players, but they obviously do. And he's looking good, you know, and it's always good to have a former Minnesota person. Did he go to college?
He did. You know, he did go to college. I believe he played at Ole Miss.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he went and played.
Very cool. Because, you know, sometimes they can draft him when they're in high school and they go right in.
Yeah, well, that's what they were trying to do, but he said he wanted to play college ball first.
Well, good for him, and he's good. And now that we know that, we can get him on the show, that you personally know him, and we can chill out with a Minnesota Twin tomorrow. Ho-wah.
Let's do it.
All right. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Up next, Dr. Stately. We'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us.
Stay with us.
I stole it from you. We'll be right back.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by. Stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition.
Life is a journey, and the Doherty Family College at the University of St. Thomas will help you get where you want to go. Located in downtown Minneapolis, this affordable 2-year college provides free textbooks, a laptop, meals, career coaches, and a Metro Transit pass, making DFC the perfect pathway to a bachelor's degree. Turn your dreams into reality at Doherty Family College at the University of St. Thomas. Apply today at dfc.stthomas.edu.
Minnesotans age 65 plus might qualify for Health Partners Minnesota Senior Health Options. The plan includes personal support, coverage for medical prescription drugs and dental, plus over 30 extra benefits. Eligibility information is available at healthpartners.com/oneplan. Health Partners is a health plan that contracts with both Medicare and the Minnesota Medical Assistance Medicaid program to provide benefits of both programs to enrollees. Enrollment in Health Partners depends on contract renewal.
Hey, Olgama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, yes it is. What a great organization. Hey, we have Dr. Stately on the phone. Dr. Stately, can you hear me? He can't hear me. Dr. Stately. Oh.
Arena ice is blocking the signal.
Right, exactly. Well, we might be talking to ourselves here for the next few minutes until we get Ruth Buffalo on, because I'm trying to call again.
Your call has been
forwarded. Yeah, it went right into voicemail. Wow. Yeah, the ice arenas usually are really packed up. You know, I'll just talk a little bit more about the Twins. We have a painting out there, an original painting, and we just had another one commissioned from this artist named Heck out at the Twin Stadium, and we also have posters of it. So if you can't afford the original painting, we have posters, but it's really cool. It has the city landscape. It's kind of the background of the Twin Stadium in right field, but kind of up in the corners, it has Chief Bender, who's from Minnesota and a Hall of Fame Native American pitcher. And then also Jim Thorpe. And Jim Thorpe, I don't know, Haley, if you remember Jim Thorpe, but he was probably the greatest athlete in the first half century of the 20th century. He was Bo Jackson before there was Bo Jackson. He was an Olympic, Native American Olympic gold decathlon winner. He played for the baseball team for three teams. The Giants were one of them. He also played, he was the first NFL commissioner and played professional football. And so we want to keep his spirit alive. I think there just was a book that came out. The Path Lit by Lightning came out last year on his life story. And there's been books over the years about Jim Thorpe, but he, you know, he sometimes gets forgotten. I don't even know. Do you even know the information I just gave you as being a sports person?
I honestly don't. I know I feel like I should, but yeah.
No, I understand. And I think that's why we're talking about it, you know, that a lot of people don't, especially maybe in your age group and even my age group, because he came, I do believe it was the 1912 Olympics, he played in the 20s, you know, in Major League Baseball, in the 20s in football, and commissioner, and he lived, you know, as Native Americans, it happens to Native Americans, he didn't live that long. He was only in his 50s when he died, which, you know, is the average age of a lot of Native American men living. So it's pretty interesting that we don't live that long. And that's probably why at such a young age, I'm an elder, you know, in my tribe. When I turned 60, I became an elder. And they take the tribes and the tribe that I'm with, the Ho-Chunk Nation, they really take care of elders.
Right.
In a lot of different ways. And then there's when you turn 70, Haley, you become an elite elder. And, I'm just an elite old person. I'm a young old person. So I don't consider myself an elder in the Native way, but that's what we're called in the, I guess, tribal way, but not so much the Native way, because elders, as you know, really know our history, how to do things in a good way, and how to
elders' responsibility is to really teach and provide the knowledge and traditions to the younger generations so that they can be maintained and passed down to the next seven generations, and to keep those traditions alive, really.
And you were named by an elder.
I was. Yeah. I don't think we've ever said my Native name on here.
Well, you should every time.
Should we announce that? I think it is. So it's Ho-Chunk language, which is called Ho-Kok language. And the spelling is always different than how you really pronounce it, I guess, in Ho-Chunk. But my great-great-great Daga, Daga meaning uncle in Ho-Chunk, my great-great-great Daga Nate, and his wife, Loretta, they named me and my cousin, Austin, who is just barely a year older than me. I like to say barely because we're four days apart, really, for birthdays. But yeah, we got named the same day by great-great-great Uncle Nate. And my name, I was gifted with Little Eagle Princess. And how you say that in Ho-Chunk language is Cha-Shep Hey-Wunga-Way-Neek.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, try saying that five times fast.
No. I always have trouble saying Eagle, Chashup.
I always have trouble saying that word
for some reason. And we're in the Eagle Clan, and as probably people do or might or might not know that are listening and listened over the years of the show, is that there's 12 clans in Ho-Chunk or Ho-Ok, as you were saying earlier. And we are the Eagle Clan, and there's a whole bunch. And I know, like, the Bear Clan, which I seem to run into a lot here in the Twin Cities, there's a lot of Bear Clan. Those are our warriors and our police. And those are people, the Bear Clan, for instance, would be, if we were having trouble with somebody or at some organization, we'd bring the Bear Clan in to protect us and be the police of that. And so there's all these different different things that each clan is responsible for. And it's always also too good to know who is in what clan, because you don't want to marry the same people that are in the same clan, because you're going to be related to them.
Yeah, right. There's always that joke that goes around when you're out at a Native event and you're like, oh, I hope this guy's not my cousin.
Right.
Like, I hope we're not related. But
well,
yeah.
And it's funny, Haley, too, because we are, and you and I are related, we are related to a lot of people. And I think it's because of the genocide of our tribe, where we had hundreds of thousand people that were Ho-Chunk, and it was down to less than 1,000 at one time because of all the genocide and the things. And so we literally are related to everybody, you know, and
yeah,
that's crazy. I mean, I took a Ancestry.com test, and you just go further and further down. You go, wow, we're related to Charisse Davids. You know, I mean, things, people, right, I never even thought, because, you know, we can look back at our name and go, oh, okay, you know, the Houghtons, they're related to us, you know, and the Clevelands, and, you know, you can look on and on. We're not just McKees, but there's some heavy-duty names in the nation that we're related to, but that's because it's such a small population, you know?
And, yeah, it really
became
is.
Really small.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's, yeah, it's, I agree. It's great that we have the tools and the technology that we have today where we can track down our family and see where they're living now, if they're still around, mm-hmm, you know, because we talk about blood quantum. You know, you have to know where your blood comes from. You got to know your relatives. And
right,
sometimes it can be hard to track down.
So. Right. And that's an important thing, because we talk about that, and we've talked about that before. You know, we've gone from Minnesota Twins talking about blood quantum. That's a big stretch here. But, you know, we've talked about, you know, it isn't a slap in the face, or it isn't disrespectful if people ask you who you are. When it comes to natives, you know, you spit it out. You say, hey, you know, I'm Eagle Clan. My name is Wukunjahade. My Gaga was Helen McKee. My great-grandfather in a white way was Howard McKee Jr., and so on and so forth. And when you say the name McKee, people will go, oh, okay, I know who you are. But if you can't do that,
yeah,
very skeptical of if you are just a person that wants to be a Native American, which, Haley, we've run into a lot over the years. And, you know, it's crazy that these people are getting money as professors, and they can't find or follow their heritage. Not only just blood quantum, because I don't like blood quantum, period. Or I don't like the term blood quantum. That's a colonized term. But I mean, descendants, you know, who you related to. You know, who can you tell me who you're related to? And then the old ones, the ones that are my age or older, they will definitely know who you're talking about. They'll know who you're related to. They'll start spitting it out at you and learn or know more about, you know, who you're related to than you do sometimes. It's really interesting, and it's something that's very important, because, you know, you can't just say you're related to and not know who your people are, but you also have to show up and be a part of your family and do good things. And that's what we try to do here and also everywhere else in the nation. And we love being Ho-Chunk. So we'll be right back. And hopefully we'll have Ruth Buffalo. We'll be talking more baseball and blood quantum here, Haley. We'll be right back after this short break. Native Roots Radio.
Stay with us.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
Starting at 6 AM, the Mayor and Mino.
Then at 8, the Earl Ingram Show
on WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Lionel Moise. Governor Abbott is responding to the U.S. Justice Department suing the state of Texas over a new floating barrier of red buoys at the border. The blockade is placed in shallow areas of the river where it's easier to cross, forcing migrants to navigate deeper waters and razor wire.
The lawsuit claiming Texas flouted federal law when it did not seek authorization from the Army Corps of Engineers prior to installing the floating barrier and demanding it be removed from the Rio Grande River. Texas Governor Greg Abbott refusing to remove the barrier, arguing in a letter sent to President Biden, the state has the constitutional right and sovereign interest in protecting its borders, writing, "Texas, we'll see you in court, Mr. President."
ABC's Maria Villarreal reporting, Mexico has also raised concerns, saying the barriers violate international treaties. Dangerous heat targeting parts of the central U.S., and it's not just there. 40 million Americans are under heat alerts nationwide. This is ABC News.
Attention, Wisconsin veterans.
Hello, I'm Tony Evers, the governor of Wisconsin. If you are a veteran struggling to pay for rent, utilities, or other life-sustaining services, I want you to know that the Veterans Rental Assistance Program is here to help. You have already made a most noble sacrifice. You shouldn't have to continue doing so. We are here to support you. The Veterans Rental Assistance Program was created by and for people living in Wisconsin, with benefit approvals being issued to veterans in just days, not months. It's never easy to ask for assistance, but rest assured, we're here to help. You've always been there for us. We want you to know that we're here for you. Call 833-WISBRAP, that's 833-947-8727, or visit VRAPWI.com. On behalf of the state of Wisconsin, thank you.
It's so hot. Wait. Now it's going to rain? It is summer in Wisconsin.
As much as we love it, we love to hate it too. Find a forecast you can count on along with the in-depth details you need only from the Civic Media Weather Team.
These extended conditions have led us into a flash drought. Sitting in these above average temperatures with minimal rain has swiftly altered the local climate.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
Woo-hoo!
Starting at 6 AM, the Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, the Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, the Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, the Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, the Maggie Dawn Show. On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Wisconsin's manner of funding local government is nearly singular in the country. That cheese stands alone, if you will. It hasn't been working in Milwaukee. It hasn't been working in Rhinelander. It hasn't been working in La Crosse, Green Bay, Madison, Kenosha, Racine. I don't care what you pick. It ain't working.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
For over a century, AM radio has evolved to meet the needs of our community. More than 80 million listeners depend on AM radio each month. It's also the backbone of the emergency alert system, keeping us safe in dangerous times. A new bill in Congress would ensure this free, reliable service remains in cars. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the
Street and Grand Avenue in St. Paul or CafeLatte.com.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Minnesota 350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Yes, they do. Hey, really happy to have Ruth Anna Buffalo on. Welcome, former state representative. We're always really great to see and hear from you. Thank you so much for coming on today.
Yes, Mazagadad. Thank you for having me.
Right on. Hey, you are down in Billings, Montana. I guess that's not down, that's up and over. you are doing the Not Invisible Act Commission hearings there. And really exciting that this process is happening, but also probably heavy on the heart when you hear all these people telling their stories. Thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, thank you for having me. And yes, just arrived to Billings, Montana today with a few of my family members. And it's 105 degrees here, heat advisory. But yes, this is the final stop, I guess you could say, for the series of field hearings that have been held across the United States for the Not Invisible Act Commission's field hearings. So it'll be 2 days, Tuesday and Wednesday, here at the Billings Hotel and Convention Center, starting tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Mountain Time.
Wow. And can we listen in on these in this public hearing, or do you have to be in Billings? I know you've been here in the Twin Cities and all over across the country. How does that work?
Yeah, no, you have to be present. The morning sessions will have media present and open to the media the first morning session. And then the afternoon and the following day are time allotted for community members, individuals, families to provide testimony. And so that will then be closed to the media. So but yeah, you must be present. We are not doing any live streams, and just really want to also respect the privacy of those who do come forward to share their stories or stories of their loved ones. But we do have the option of private testimony available too. So if you're not comfortable providing your testimony to the full room where some of the commissioners will be, we now have the option for you to provide that testimony privately. And then the written testimony has always been ongoing. I believe we have a deadline of August 10th to submit your written testimony. And we also have two virtual hearings that will take place first few days of August.
So just a little background, Ruth. In October 2020, the Not Invisible Act of 2019 was signed into law as the first bill in history to be introduced and passed by four U.S. Congress members enrolled in the respective federally recognized tribes. They were led by Secretary of Interior Deb Haaland. Wow, that's amazing. And will you see Deb? Will she be up for Secretary?
Not that we're aware of, but you know, it's every hearing has been different, and so we haven't received word yet if she is, but it's always a possibility.
Yeah. So tell me more. I mean, this has got to be a whole, and I mean this in a serious way, a lot of smudging going on because of how deep and heavy this is. Ruth, this is probably heavy on your heart after you hear all this, and you've been at all these hearings.
For sure. We have, they designed it to where there are seven field hearings, and the first one was in Tulsa, Oklahoma, mid-April, and then the end of April was Anchorage, Alaska, but we also visited Ketchikan and then the village of Emonic and Bethel, and that was a seven-day trip, and then we went to Flagstaff, Arizona, Minneapolis, Minnesota, Albuquerque, New Mexico, Blue Lake, California, and then the final stop here is Billings, Montana. So yes, definitely lots of taking care of ourselves and each other. Some of the stories that are shared are very, very personal, and oftentimes do remind us who are there receiving the testimony on the commission or within the commission. It definitely has reminded us of different life experiences that we may have experienced, or someone we know or a loved one has experienced. So we definitely are trying to make sure that we are incorporating our healing practices into everything that we do, because some of the stories that we have heard, you cannot unhear, you know, and so we want to make sure that we are doing our part with this responsibility of moving whatever work we can forward for justice for everyone.
So part of, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, so yeah, the Not Invisible Act Commission, you know, it's a very broad coalition. I guess you could call it a coalition. It's a commission, but it's the most diverse commission to date in the federal government's history, we are told. That means that there are more representatives within the commission, the makeup of the commission, that are non-federal representatives, like myself. I'm representing First Nations Women's Alliance, but we also have, for each subcommittee, we have two co-chairs, one federal representative and one non-federal. So I co-chair Subcommittee 4 alongside an individual who is from the federal, a federal agency. And Subcommittee 4 is focused on jurisdiction, prosecution, information sharing, and sharing of resources across the different jurisdictions. So we are tasked with developing this report full of recommendations that will go to Congress, Department of Interior, and Department of Justice. So it's been pretty, you know, intense. We don't have a big turnaround time to pump out these recommendations. So we're trying to do the best we can with the amount of time that we have.
You know, I read that the Bureau of Indian Affairs estimates that there are over 4,200 unsolved MMIP cases. I don't know. I would personally think that there's more. Maybe they stop counting after a certain number. I mean, what's your feeling on that, Ruth?
Gosh, it's, I mean, we know that anecdotally, I think within, as a, being a Native or being a Hidatsa, Mandan, Apache woman, we know that what data that is reported oftentimes is very skewed based off of the recorder, you know, and so okay. How do we get parity in the data arena, period? And so that has always been something that many of us talk about. Even, you know, we've heard from medical examiners and coroner's offices as well during our stops across the country at the different field hearings. And we've had some pretty, I guess you could say, robust conversations on the gaps within the existing systems. And so we know that what data is reported, you know, like that one that we hear a lot is, you know, 84% of Native women will have experienced some form of violence within their lifetime. And that's always striking to hear. But, you know, many of us believe that that number is probably, unfortunately, a lot higher if data was reported, if people did, number one, come forward to report their experiences, and number two, if it was recorded properly and not misclassified under a different race or category, or just not recorded at all if people have come forward. So there's so many different things that we're hearing in terms of gaps within the system. And so definitely these efforts within the Not Invisible Act Commission, many believe it's only the beginning, because we cannot solve this with one commission, you know,
right.
This is not going to solve it if this is the beginning. And so hopefully there will be phase one, phase two, because this is going to take some time to get the results that everyone deserves and needs.
So, Ruth, what is the final outcome that we're looking for? I mean, during these sessions, I imagine there's a lot of trauma and a lot of healing by telling these stories. But what is the political ramification at the end of the, what are we looking for at the end of this?
Ultimately, at the end of this, we're looking for meaningful change, transformative change that will have teeth in it. You know, we want this to be, we want our efforts as a commissioner to be more than just, you know, a checking the box or a good gesture of bringing a diverse group of people together, you know, to have some conversations, to listen to, you know, seven different communities. But we want it to be long-lasting, meaningful, transformative change. So by law, or what is written in law for the Not Invisible Act Commission, is that ultimately the commission's purpose is to develop recommendations for the Departments of the Interior and Justice through the work of six subcommittees focused on improving intergovernmental coordination and establishing best practices for state, tribal, and federal law enforcement to bolster resources for survivors and victims' families and combating the epidemic of missing persons, murder, and trafficking of American Indian and Alaska Native peoples as specified under the law.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I appreciate you for amplifying this. You've always been a doer, and as long as I've known you, and I really appreciate our friendship and you coming on and talking about a lot of heavy things. I mean, I'm glad your family's with you, and I'm glad, you know, that it, I'm not glad it's hot, but you guys can go swimming together as a family in the pool and heal and be in a good place with your family. So I'm glad you can take your family with you.
Yes, definitely. I mean, I do have my sister and her partner with as well, and their children. And unfortunately, it would be my sister-in-law, late sister-in-law. Unfortunately, my sister and her partner will be here in Billings to share their story of what happened to his late baby sister on our reservation, Fort Berthold Indian Reservation, in Newtown, March of 2023. And so helping them the best I can. And they're also looking at introducing a new tribal code within the Mandan, Hidatsa, and Arikara Nation to address the crisis that we're facing.
Wow. Thank you, former State Representative Ruth Buffalo. I really, really appreciate you stopping in and talking about these heavy-duty issues. And take care of yourself, and thanks for stopping in. I really, really appreciate it.
No problem. Mazagadads, thank you. You too. Good to see you both.
Yeah, it's good to see you. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back with Haley and I. Swapping stories, I guess. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Even though the public COVID-19 emergency might be over, it's still important to stay up to date on vaccinations. And if you're like most people, you probably need a refresher on who should get vaccinated and when. So here's the bottom line. If you're 6 years or older, aim for that one updated COVID-19 vaccine. It doesn't matter if you've had a previous vaccine or not. You're still in the game. Now, if you're 65 or older, you've got the green light for one extra dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. Just wait 4 months after your first updated dose, and you're good to go. And for the little ones, children between 6 months and 5 years may need multiple doses, including at least one of the updated vaccines, based on their age and previous doses. Remember, always stay informed and reach out to healthcare professionals for personalized guidance. Didn't catch all of that? You can find all of the updated COVID vaccine information at health.state.mn.us. That's health.state.mn.us.
This message is brought to you in partnership with the Minnesota Department of Health.
Hey, this is Robert Pilot. I taught in St. Paul Public Schools for over 25 years, and I want you to join the team and make a difference in our children's future. Right now, St. Paul Public Schools is offering hiring and retention bonuses up to $10,000 for a variety of teaching and classroom support positions for the next school year. Grow in a supportive and fulfilling public school setting. Limited bonuses are available, so don't delay.
Apply at spps.org/careers.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Ho! Good one. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm woke, and I never really thought that being awake and around your surroundings and what's going on was a bad thing, but it seems like the Republicans do think of being woke or awake is a bad thing. So I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you know, what did they say? The American dream is a dream for a reason. You have to be sleeping to believe it.
Ooh, good one. Good one. So there. Chujunk there. Gen Z Chujunk. Oh, yeah.
I can't claim that quote. I wish I could, but someone else said that.
Well, we haven't done any prep because we thought we'd have a jam-packed audience or a guest. But one of the things, I don't know, have you heard that controversy about the country Western song that's come out here?
Oh, yeah, by that guy who goes by Jason Aldean.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, I have. I've been keeping up on that on Twitter just a little bit. And then Twitter, you know, might be going to X. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, that's fine by me. You know, I'm not much. I read some Twitter, but I'm really, you know, it's just so nasty out there. And then the person that owns it now is a raving Republican. And I just I can't stomach it all the time. I get the baseball updates and things like that, or other people that I listen to, like Stephanie Miller's show on Twitter. Follow her on Twitter, and she's here on AM 950 in the morning, and with a great show, probably the second most popular progressive station in the show in the country. And so I listen in to her, and her mother just passed away, who was, I think she was almost 100, if not 100. And that's amazing. That's a long time. But yeah, I mean, supposedly Haley, he pulled his music video because that was showing a lot of stock footage of places that were having issues and not a home, not a small town. I guess that was the whole thing, a small town. And
right.
Yeah, you know, and they were showing these footage from foreign countries burning down. It wasn't even like the United States. And so it's crazy.
Yeah. Well, the lyrics in there is what the lyrics talk about is whatever. But I'm not a huge country music person to begin with. So.
Oh, well, yeah, me either. But this thing came across and I was just like, oh my gosh, what are people talking about? And again, I probably found that coming up on TikTok and Facebook, people were talking about it. And so I kind of saw a few things come up on it. But yeah, this guy, his wife is totally for the... wrong that Biden didn't win and all these, you get deep down in that that rabbit hole of who these people are that are spewing this stuff, and then their denial. It's just like when Trump was talking during one of the debates, talking about, you know, telling the Proud Boys to stand down. It's like, you know, they're talking in codes out there that you have to listen to, and people called them out on it too, because it's like, what are you promoting here? Like violence, gun violence of city people coming to a small town. You're going to shoot them. What's up?
Right. And his hometown wasn't even a small town.
He didn't write the song, but he sure.
Well, yeah, even worse. Yeah. Maybe you should focus on writing your own lyrics.
Yeah, well, one of the things with him, I read that he had something like 28 hits or something in his career, and he didn't write any of them. So he sings other people's songs that he believes in, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, so let's jump back to the Twins. We're going to be at the Twins game tomorrow. And come on by the Creative Corner right by Gate 34, which is Kirby Puckett's old number, and right in there. And stop by and check it out and say hi. Jelaine, my Weeha, she'll be there, and her husband Micah will be there. And I believe my Hinu will be there too, Jaleesa. So be a fun packed day tomorrow, and keeping cool will be part of on my agenda too.
I know. What is the temp? Tomorrow's looking like 92 and partly cloudy. Thursday. Okay. Well, it changed since the commercial break, the last one. It already changed. So, but I thought it was reading 97 on Wednesday, but looks like it's down to 92.
Yeah, not much difference as far as I'm concerned. You know, and I'm looking out the window here, and it just downpoured here in St. Paul as I'm broadcasting out of St. Paul, Minnesota, and our station is in Eden Prairie, and our flag station, and it was pouring just a little while ago, and now it's sunny, and the precipitation is gone. It basically doesn't even look like it rained. So
I know, because everything's just so dry, it just sucks up all the water right away.
Yeah, definitely. So, Haley, what did you do this weekend here? We're down to that in the last couple minutes. What did you do? I know I went to the Twins, see the Twins play two nights, or a night game and a day game, and they pulled the rabbit out of the hat.
Yeah, I know. I saw you posting out there twice in one weekend after you told me you were going to take me on a boat ride. Oh, wow.
family squabble on live radio.
Family squabble. Oh. over the boat.
Yeah.
So Minnesotan.
Yeah, exactly. I just figured I better get out there because of the store. And then a friend of mine wanted to go. It's a long story, Haley. I'll tell you after the show, and hopefully you'll forgive me. But
I forgive you.
Right.
I forgive you. No, I had a nice weekend. It was really relaxing, and got some yard work done, and hung out with the dog and the fam. It was nice.
Yeah, that's good. What's your dog's name again?
Oh, that's Sadie girl.
Yeah.
Adopted her my senior year of high school back in 2016.
Wow.
She's a border collie golden retriever mix. We're not really sure what she is, but yeah, she's a very fluffy big dog, and we love her.
And I, you know, dogs are sacred to natives, but it's also, I feel like dogs are family, cats are family. And when they go, it's super hard. And we just had one of our dogs take the rainbow bridge, so to speak. And we were there for it. And I just read a great article about be there for your animal. You know, a high percentage of people put their dogs and animals down, and they aren't there for the moment. And I know it's super hard to do. Believe you me, I cried I was wailing like a baby, but it's good. It's good for the other being to see you in their last moments.
Yeah, exactly. And our dogs, they're descendants of the sacred animal, the wolf. So, which is also my, you know, Native Americans, we have different signs, right? Animal signs for your birth month. Yeah. So and maybe we can talk about that next time.
That's right. Hey, thanks, Haley. We did a show together, and I see how they snuck that in. We just did a whole show together. Kibitzin.
Yay.
Yeah, right on. Hey. You're listening to Native Roots Radio, and I just want to end this. If you're listening to the show, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground in which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need
to... We're live here outside the Perez family home, just waiting for the... And there they go! Almost on time this morning. Mom is coming out the front door strong with a double-arm kid carry. Looks like Dad has the bags. Daughter is bringing up the rear. Oh, but the diaper bag wasn't closed. Diapers and toys are everywhere.
Ooh, but mom has just nailed the perfect car seat buckle for the toddler. And now the eldest daughter, who looks to be about 9 or 10, has secured herself in the booster seat. Dad zips the bag closed, and they're off. Ah, but looks like mom doesn't realize her coffee cup is still on the roof of the car. And there it goes. Oh, that's a shame. That mug was a fam favorite.
Don't sweat the small stuff. Just nail the big stuff, like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Learn more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
ABC News, I'm Lionel Moye.